Cover some ground. Okay, Din Erev Yom Kippurim. There's a lot of Chaya Yom Kippurim. I'm skipping to the Simon, Simon Dalet. I don't really know how much we're going to do. I really want to go over with you outside some halachas, but I need to spend some time preparing for that. I didn't prepare for that, so in the meantime, let's do inside some Chaya Yom. You have some very beautiful ideas. Ksivit says, V'nisim es nafshas seichem b'tishalach ha'idesh bereh. Okay, this is the easiest part of Yom Kippur. The easiest part of Yom Kippur is the mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Okay? No one seems to complain about this part. The eat, the nisim es nafshar seichem, you shall afflict your neshamos betisha lachodesh on the 9th day of the month, but Erev in the evening. Now that doesn't make any sense. You should let the pasuk cut to the chase. You shall afflict yourself on the 10th day of the month. Why is the pasuk beating around the bush and telling us you shall afflict yourself on the 9th day of the month in the evening? After the 9th day of the month is over, what is going on over here? It should say now. The deek he's making is not what I just said, but it's a different deek. Ta'anu esnaf shoy seichem ad erev. Until
you should fast on the 9th. That's what his deek is.
B'tisha l'chodesh b'erev on the night, so we should fast. Tanu ad erev.
That's how the Gemara learns the pasuk.
Which would mean that we should fast on the 9th day, not on the 10th day.
No,
we
didn't say
not
on the 10th day.
Partially on the 9th.
B'erev, tanu nafshei seichem ad erev.
Me'erev ad erev.
So fast on the 9th day b'erev. Ta'anu ad erev. Since the pasuk is vague, it really sounds like we should fast on the 9th day as well. But that cannot possibly be. Because it's on the 10th day of the month. Torah says elsewhere that Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of the month. So what then does this pasuk mean? The kibul chazal, the adarabah mitzvah etor lechaber of Yom Kippurim. Just the opposite. We have a tradition that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, v'ra'atzer Kadosh Baruch Hu liten sochar bar achila ki'ilu hisanu. And the pasuk of Yomim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us reward for eating. That eating should be considered in Hashem's eyes as if we have fasted. Shein doime lemekayi mitzvah v'yesh boi hanos aguf ki'achila Shabbos. This, you cannot compare a person's mekayi mitzvah which has pleasure, like eating on Shabbos v'yom tov, lemekayi mitzvah sheyesh boi tzar k'maisha amru lefum tzara agra. So therefore, ideally, the ultimate reward comes with pain. No pain, no gain. So Hashem wanted to give us reward for eating, as if we're fasting. In other words,
I don't know if he's going to say it here, but what my father and grandfather told me that time, because I said one time foolishly, I learned that if I fast, if I start eating less before, it's very easy to fast. He said, no,
just the opposite.
Don't be a wise guy. You got to eat a big meal because it makes it more difficult. To fast. And
that's drush. Okay,
so
that's
you
a drush.
Eat a lot, so it's hard. Yeah,
so eating, okay, you're setting yourself up.
That's part of the inui.
Okay, that's an idea. Okay, it's, I mean, not everyone's.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. And that's why it says you got to clap al chayim by mincha before you eat the suda.
Yes.
Because you might choke on the food and never get to say al
chayim. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
He says it over here. Now let's go further. The Iluk said the pasuk would have said betisha l'chaydish toichlu. If the pasuk would tell us, okay, Rabbi Sai, if the pasuk would tell us outright that on the 9th day of the month Hashem wants you to eat, then the reward lo hayulanu sochar ela ki mekayim mitzvasi ali de achila. So the Chai Adam is telling us that there's a principle called lefumet sara agra. The reward we get for fasting is much, much greater than the reward we get for eating, because eating we enjoy and fasting is painful. So, but the Torah Hashem wants to give us reward for eating the same degree of reward as if we would have fasted. The way the Torah gave us this reward is by describing eating with the term of fasting. It's bizarre. Okay, I can't tell you that, but that's what it says. That's explaining it. This is the reason why the Torah said what we should do on the 9th day with the term of fasting. to teach us that when a person eats Erev Yom Kippur L'Shem Shamayim, the reward he will receive for every bite that he takes will be the same as the reward he gets as if he has fasted on that day. And it is a given that when a person fasts, the reward he receives is infinitely greater than the reward he would normally receive for eating, because fasting is painful, eating is pleasurable. The Torah is telling us, no, I want you to eat, and if you're going to eat L'Shem Shamayim, I'm going to give you the same reward for every bite that you take as if you had fasted during those moments. Ulechein, therefore, Shina HaKasav V'Chasav Mitzvahs Achila B'Lashoyin Tainis Shayiya Nechshav Achila Zo L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'ilu Hoya Tainis K'day, for what purpose? Litein Socher, to give us reward, kimekayim mitzvah b'tzar, inu, with the same tzar as affliction. Therefore, what do we derive out of this? We derive the bottom line is that erev Yom Kippur, a person should have a good meal. Ulechei mitzvah le'echol, to eat, ulaharbois b'seuda, period. Okay, that is the bottom line. A person is, in fact, we're going to learn now soon all the halachas, you're not allowed to fast in any condition. A person is not, is the one day a year when you're not allowed to fast, and that is Erev Yom HaKippurim. Shabbos, if something's really bothering you, you can fast. The time is Chalom is Mutter. You're allowed to fast on Shabbos b'diavad. Yom Tif, you also, to a certain degree, time is Chalom is also Mutter. Not Mutter on Yom Tif?
You have to,
no, he says Beferish over here. Now, you have to, if you can, if you really want, you can.
He says you break it until some of second.
So it's not. So Yom Tiv is Yom Tiv to some degree is really there's a bigger chumrah to eat than Shabbos. Shabbos is oineg. There's no Yom Tiv is simcha. Ain't simcha ella the boss of the yayin. So Yom Tiv is a greater stringency in eating and not fasting on Yom Tiv than there is on Shabbos, but yet under certain circumstances, even on Yom Tiv, you are allowed to fast. By the way, in Rosh Hashanah, okay, Rosh Hashanah, which is what he passed us, there you can fast. There is the most lenient. On Rosh Hashanah, if a person really mams the whole day Rosh Hashanah, b'dievet in Rosh Hashanah, you are allowed, b'dievet you are allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's what we mentioned, even Yalev, if you forget to say Yalev, you have in Rosh Hashanah, some hold, you do not repeat the benching. Because just like at Shalosh Shudas, if you forget to say, we'd say, you do not repeat the bench, because there's no chiv to have a suda Shalosh Shudas, Migradin. So too, there's no chiv to have a suda on Rosh Hashanah, so therefore, b'dievet you forget to tell Yalev. But when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, this is the day that is the most stringent, you're not allowed to eat, to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, what happens if a person makes a neder? I'm not going to eat basa. The only day I'm going to eat basa is a Yom Tov. Motor gam came by Yom Kippurim. The Suda Mavsekes v'lem Shachris. So the halacha is that Erev Yom Kippurim is called a Yom Tov. And therefore, by the Suda Hamavsekes, you're allowed to eat basa. That's included in the exception to your neder, but not Shachris. V'nir li lidon the regilin lecha basa gam suda Shachris. V'chol noyde adai to the minag nadar. The Achai Adam is makel that a person makes a neder that he will not eat basa every single day with the exception of Yom Tov. He's allowed to eat meat even in the morning of Erev Yom HaKippurim because it is our custom to eat meat even in the morning of Erev Yom HaKippurim. What?
We eat
krepluch.
That's the
basa. That's the basa, fine. Afilu shachris. Next. Umi shle nada behedya. Ela shnei kach shle lechel basa kim b'yam sh'ein oim b'chem tachnon. A person has a custom not to eat meat except on the days when he does not say Tachnun by Chassidim. That's every day. Never say Tachnun. Azai afilu balaylo shel erev makipur mutu lechol. He says a chiddush that the night before, isn't that amazing? The Yom Tov already begins the night before. The night before, you're already is a shtickle Yom Tov. You can already, whatever you're eating is also a mitzvah. And ask the kach that if you have a minute, if your custom is not to eat meat, you already can eat meat the night before Yom Kippur. But dafka b'layla mamish, avolay b'kodim napov, not ben ashmashas, not in the afternoon, lezeh, afal pisha espalo, obviously daven early ma'arif, you go to shul, you daven ma'arif early, so you no, just because you daven ma'arif early, if it's an hour and 15 minutes before Laila, it's not enough. You have to wait until it's Vade Laila. Penochon shloyochal afilu b'sud shachris machem achalichol v'chema v'shem beitzim shemar mizera. Person any things which causes shechva zera, because it's a good simon if a chas v'shem a person becomes a balkari on the night of Yom Kippur, but the day, any the whole day Yom Kippur, it's not a good simon. Chazal say if a person should worry that he should live out the year, chas v'shem, if it happens to him on Yom HaKippurim, so a person should not do something which would cause him to come l'day this form of tumah. And indeed, we know that in the Gemara, one of the first daf in Masechta Yoma, that is why the Kohen Gadol did not go to sleep. The Kohen Gadol, they kept the Kohen Gadol up the whole night. The whole night, Yom HaKippurim, in order to make sure that he does not fall asleep, because he falls asleep, he may come l'day, Shechva Zera. And what do they do to keep him up? They learn with him, Nach. I can guarantee you one thing, they did not play recordings of the morning kolol shir, because that would for sure put him to sleep. And the whole purpose is that he should not fall asleep. So
even the cell phone should fall asleep.
What? So they had entertainers, they had people there in the Beis HaMikdash there and making sure he would not fall asleep, he should not come l'day Shechva Zera. Halacha Beis, Asor Lis'anois Boishrim Tainis. It's forbidden Erev Yom HaKippurim to fast. What about a Tainis Chaloim? Also forbidden. Umi Shara Chaloim Shemisana Lov Mesor L'Navshoi V'Roitza L'Sanis Yis'ane Arasulis HaMsekis. The best you can do is fast half a day. Fast until the zman of eating some afsekas, the vade min haTorah saki shiyochel pam achas. It is sufficient to eat part of the day. Umiu kevin the lacha chatzayt schalav shem tainis mutov shloy lisanois. But it's still better that he should not be misanah because the lacha chatzayt schalav shem tainis. That since if he's mekal upon himself a tainis, it's still called a tainis, even though he's breaking his fast. It's still called a tainis, and that's not in the spirit of the day. Therefore, it's better shloim l'sanas period v'im roitzi yikabel love l'sanas yom acher v'yikubal kilu l'sanah hayom kei. So he says the ideal thing is a person has a bad dream the night before, he should makabel right away. That after Yom Kippur he'll fast a tainis chaloim, but don't fast at all on erev Yom HaKippurim. Halach gimel, there's no tachnon erev Yom Kippur. A neif mal pneim be'inayim lamatzeach. Now, of course, this is not referred to slichas. Erev Yom Kippurim, you do full tachnon, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Right? You do full tachnon. It's a shorter version, but you do full tachnon, because tachnon shach to slichos. But we're referring over here to tachnon of the tefillah. There is no tachnon in the nusach atzilu, but not in slichos. Inam lam tzeach, the sebe b'yom tzara, yan chashem b'yom tzara. Erev Yom Kippurim is not called the Yom Tzara. Why not? Because they did not offer a tomid, they did not offer the carbon toida on Erev Yom Kippur, because Yom Emayet in the Zman Achila, a tomid can, the toida can be eaten for one day and one night. You can technically eat it the entire day and the entire night, so really there is no issue. You should be allowed to bring the carbon toida and eat the breads. You have 40 breads, 40 loaves of bread, and make sure they're eaten by the end of the day. However, what? No, every minchas chavitin was completely burnt. That was completely burnt. That was not an issue. The minchas chavitin was completely burnt on the mizbeach. Every carbon mincha of a kohen was completely burnt. But let's say a private individual for four things, kolish and esrape, you cross over the yam, or a person was released from prison, or...
You couldn't bring a shlama
mizah? No.
A shlamim is 2 days.
Shlamim is two days
and the night in between. So you have another whole day. If you bring the carbon shlamim today, so you tackle when you can't tackle when you even might. So it does not talk about it.
No.
But let's say Erev Yom Kippur. What about bringing carbon shlamim? Could you have 2 days Erev Yom Kippur and the next day and the night in between? So l'chayra, so you being might nachila. So I could be the answer is it could.
That you can't say your
carbon
is except for
carbon because of the shlomo, you shouldn't say. He's saying you're right. He's saying you shouldn't do it. Here, I just want to make one point. You can see Yitaki says that about the carbonos, but there is a difference between the carbon toida and the carbon shlom, and that is the carbon toida has 40 loaves of bread, which is an enormous amount of food. And a shlom is an animal. It's basar. Okay, basar, a whole animal is a lot of meat. But it's not, for some reason, does not appear that it was hard to consume. You give it out to people, it does not appear.
That's the whole point of having the point.
Exactly, is in order to invite all the people to participate in your simcha. But a shlamim, you don't find that concept. A shlamim, you write, it's an animal, it's a large animal. You can bring a large animal, and there's a lot of basar. But it does, for whatever reason, does not seem that it was as difficult to consume the basar as it was to consume the 40 loaves of bread. The 40 loaves of bread was an enormous avoid to get people to eat, and therefore you don't want to be memayit in the zman of achila. So therefore the minhag was, you do not bring a carbon toida on Erev Yom Kippur, because you're not going to be able to eat it the following night. So do not put yourself in a situation where it's possible, where it will come liday noisar. Yeah.
Someone said, that's pshat, you say refoenu.
Yeah.
And they said, kisi hila say the water.
Yeah.
What's pshat?
Yeah, what did kisi hila say? Yeah.
Because when I'm going to bring a carbon toider, I have 40 chalas.
I'm going to give
40 people are going to be involved. I'm going to say, you're tehila.
Everyone's going to get very nice. Beautiful, very, very nice. So therefore, by bringing the carbon toider, you're going to be marbet tehila in front of Klal Yisrael, the 40 people. Very, very good. Okay, so let's review. You do not recite Mizmor L'Soida, because Mizmor L'Soida corresponds to the Karban Toida. And we do not bring a Karban Toida Erev Yom HaKippurim. When else do we not bring a Karban Toida? We do not bring it Erev Pesach. Why same Aridus Chomet? There is even a bigger problem, because after Chatzos, you're not allowed to eat Chomet. So there it's even worse. It's even a half a day you can't eat the Karban Toida. But Erev Yom HaKippurim, it's only going to be, you can eat the entire day. There's no issue of Chomet. But it's only the issue of night. At night you can't eat it. Under normal circumstances, you can eat a carbon toida the entire day and the entire night. It's like kachay kachem in that respect. It's one day and one night, and therefore you're being mamayin in the zman achilas. Therefore, you do not bring it. Let's go further. We do not say the zman lam zeh lam shavim no imim lam zlizul sod the zman abayis asla hakiv karb shum karb nachal biyavim beryom akipurim the mamayet zman achila. So it says also, as you said, you're correct. Also hakiv shum karbon. You're not allowed to bring any carbon. Okay, even a carbon shlomim. Hanecha b'Yom HaKippurim, d'mayit z'man achilas, sharei kol, kol ponim, kol hakabonis, nechom l'yoyim v'layla, acharav. Every carbon, at least, you have one day and one night. Kodshei kodashim, the z'man is a day and the following night. Kodshim kalim is 2 days and the night in between. U'Yom HaKippurim, yev shalechol, v'nim se'mevi l'day psul. U'lechei nirali, this the chiddush of the Chai Adam, which I don't think it says in the Siddur, does not say this, and they don't pass on this. There's no Siddur that I know has instructions to omit Karbanos on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Sheloy Yoimar Gam Kein Parshas HaKarbanos BeErev Yom HaKippurim. Well, the truth is, some are very machmer on this. They don't say Karbanos the whole year. They don't say Karbanos the whole year. They just want to, make sure. But those who say Karbanos, I did not find this, it does not say this. Our Parshas Oila Mutter She'enoi, there is no issue, because Nechal, because it's not eaten, so you can say Karban Oila on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Very, very interesting. Halacha, next page. Kivar Nispashet HaMinig, now we get to the fun part. Okay, Kaparos. Okay, Kaparos is a serious business. Kvar nispashet haminig lasos kaparos be'erev Yom HaKippurim. The minig to do kaparos be'erev Yom HaKippurim. Now notice what it says. The minig is do it erev Yom HaKippurim. The minig is not to do it today, not to do it tomorrow, not to do it this week. The ikar minig is to do it erev Yom HaKippurim. So people that are doing the birds, they're not waiting for erev Yom HaKippurim, because it's impossible to do. Everyone should go do the birds. So they're losing out. They're losing out on the ikar zman. There's something to the zman. The zman is erev Yom HaKippurim. Now, be'erev Yom HaKippurim, d'hainu shaleichem tarnagol zohar lezohar, male chicken for a male, v'tarnagolas l'nekeva, female for a female. Ulumubere shtayim, a woman who's pregnant takes two. D'hainu tarnagol, she takes a tarnagol, shema havlat zohar, v'tarnagolas tafilu mavlat nekeva, and you take also a tarnagolas, even if the vlat is in the keva, yischabu shnem hi v'havlat ki'achar. So you get two for one. Okay, you take two for one. So if you have a sanagam, and a chlami takano. That's a very big shalom. A woman who's pregnant, a woman who's married to a kohen, is she allowed to go to a cemetery? So the answer is, of course she's allowed to go. The only one that's not allowed to go to a cemetery, a kohen is not allowed to be lemes, but a female, a woman, is allowed to be metame lemes. The only time a woman may not go to a cemetery is if she is pregnant.
Because that's
also Suffolk.
Balua.
What?
Because Balua.
Balua, no. I'm not sure about that. the tomb of Balua? Yeah, could be, I don't know. But there is a minig where a woman who is married to a kohen who is pregnant does not go to a cemetery because she may be carrying a zohar. She may be carrying a male. But let's say you know for a fact that she's not carrying a male. She had a sonogram. The doctor said carrying a female. So then it's mutter. What?
It's not always 100%.
what the sonogram. But even if he's pregnant alone, there's a sfeika. Many hold you can go because number one, first of all, who says it's going to be a bar kayama? It might be a nafel. And even if it's and even if it's not nafel, who says that it's a zocha? Maybe in the keva. So there are many. Then you tell this to him, balua. It's not. It's concealed. So there are many heterim. In any event, now we're going over here to the halach over here. Muberes. She takes a zocha in the keva. Why? Two for one. The female chicken will be a kapar for both her and the possibility that her fetus is a female. And the zohar chicken will be mechaper, will be an exchange for the fetus in the event that the fetus is indeed is a male. So she takes two, do not make a mistake, I think she needs three. She does not need to have the same chicken for one for herself and then to have a zohar nekeva for the two fetus. She can do, the female can be both for her and the possibility that the fetus is a female. And indeed, that's what's done today. Today, when people do kaparis, they don't usually have a chicken for each person. It's very common that they use the same, they reuse it. They recycle the same chicken for many people, a whole family, or for even groups of people. They do not necessarily use, they don't have one chicken for one person. They recycle for many people. But over here, you even see the Chaya Adam, even though in a few moments he's going to say that you shouldn't do this altogether, but at least he acknowledges those people who do it. You don't have to be so makbid to have a dafka, one chicken per person. You can use one chicken for many people. Next, Afilu Shnei Adam, he writes, even to people, Yecholim Likach Kapar Achas, even two people can use one chicken. The yei shlechem uberes shtei tanegolos letanegol echad. Some take two females and one female. V'yamlam afke shakam goyim kosu minagzeh mikol mokam mash nishrash b'leiv hamoyin shakol kaparis mikipurim tel b'zeh. Now he begins now to go and knock it down. Even though this is a minuk, shenishrash. Even though many goyim kosu. Now he writes over here. You don't play around with this. This minuk has been endorsed by goyim, very, very great people. So it's not something to make a mockery out of. However, Mikol Mokoyim, he writes that unfortunately people lose, the people, their priorities have been distorted, that it's not an ikar. The ikar is to do tshuva, lev nishbar v'nitke, that's the ikar. And doing kaparis is not the same thing like eating matzah on Pesach. Eating matzah on Pesach is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and kaparis is a minuk. It's a minuk. Don't confuse a minug with a mitzvah d'oraisa. Unfortunately, he writes, "Mikol makom mash nishrash." It has taken root, belave in the heart, hehamoin of the multitude of the masses. Shekol kaparas yoim hakipurim toile b'zeh. If you don't do kaparas with a chicken, you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven, and you're in trouble. You're going to go to Gehenna. That's what people think. Uchemat shekaparas. It's people, the average person thinks that they're the same level. Eating matzah and kaparis have the same level. Shekaparis ve'achilas matzah nechshav lohem le'mitzvah achas. It's on the same level. V'sayvim she'en lohem kaparim v'kipurim im lo'y b'tarnagol. Period. V'al yidei zeh bom de'isr nevela. And because of this, their nechshal, this mistaken notion, caused them to be nechshal in very, very great sins. For example, nevela chasram, because since there's such a massive demand to slaughter these chickens erev Yom HaKippurim, and there's not enough time to do a proper shechita and a proper bedika, so when they take it home with them to eat for their suda, they end up eating nevela. Shadoichakim zezeh, they push each other, b'kihilois gedoilois, in these great assemblies outdoors, v'ashechatim ne'orim kol halayla, and the shechatim the rub the entire night, v'ayev very tired, v'inim yimargishim b'sakin, they do not have a chance to inspect the knife, and they calmly day shachting, they do a shechita that's not kosher, v'ilididi, Saisei, if people would only listen to me, the Chayodom says, ve'einam reitzim levatal minug zeh, and they would not, they don't want to be levatal this minug, you should exchange the chicken for money. Toiv yoiser, it's much better, hoyelohem lisabeb al roshayhem bimmois. I'm not telling you to be mevatel the minig of kaparos. Everyone should do the minig of kaparos. But you should do the minig of kaparos with money. You should take money and twirl the money around your head. They would use seeds. They would take seeds of grain and they would turn it around their head, and then they would give these kernels of grain, either they would give it to poor people or they would throw it into the river. They would throw it into the river and throw it into the garbage. And the money that they give, they twirl around their head and they give will be tztaka. You should give the kaparos to chickens. What would the ideal thing is to give the chicken not to yourself, to the poor person, or lift son, or to redeem the chicken. The lite namos laniim, you redeem the chicken and give the money to the chicken. Whatever you do, the chicken, I don't know, you sell it, but you give the money that the chicken is worth to poor people for tztaka. If a person really wants to do this mitzvah, it really means a lot to you to use a live chicken. Make sure you have a sheichet who is a Yerush Shemayim. He should come early in the morning when he's fresh and he's awake. Via tekef lasmicha shchita, and right after you do the you do the twirling, he should shecht it immediately. Avolo yachshav shezel kapara. So do not make a mistake and think this is your kapara. Ella yachshav shekol masha isin laoif hazeh hakol hayoroi love or yolov. A person like a carbon. You should think, I am the one who deserves to die. And when I look at what happens, it should make a roshim upon me and it should inspire me to do teshuvah. Due to my teshuvah, instead of it happening to me, it's happening to the bird. Hazeh, period. Next. The meaning is not to be medactic for children. You don't have to go and do for every child. The kvarnis pashit bin anoshim.
No, no. White chickens.
I'm sorry. White, you guys, a whole discussion in a few moments about white chickens. People go crazy. You have to only white. Just like the pereches is white, my chicken has to be white. And you go berserk over this. And if it's not perfectly white, then you're not going to do kaparis. There are some women that have a distorted view of what you're supposed to do. They're only white. They spend their life savings on a white chicken. If he can, then fine. Then yikne oisav liyama klum. And you shall throw away the stomachs, the bnei me'ehem, what's inside their stomach. Will feature nizoinim in a gezel, ubnei ha-me'ayim, heim ha-kelim, ha-yishoinim, shemakalim ha-gezel. L'chein marchikim atzmai me'melachlam, k'dei litin elibay l'harchik atzmai me'gezel. A very interesting minhag. Bezman hazeh, it's not a geos anyway, but it used to be that they would eat every single part of the chicken would be eaten, including the stomach, and therefore the only time of the year when you would not eat the stomach would be Erev Yom Kippur, because then
still eat parts of the chicken.
But we don't eat the stomach today. They don't eat the stomachs, the intestines.
Okay,
you're right. I don't know. Whatever you first over here, whatever the B'nai Me'ehem, the chickens would feed on gezel. They would run around and they would eat things that are not theirs. Today, I don't think that's true, because today they're raised on private farms. And they're raised, but it seems that back in the day, these chickens would roam in the wild, and they would eat from gezel. So therefore, every Yom Kippur, you would not want to eat from the part of the stomach, the part of the chicken that was mekabel the gezel, as a way of making an impression upon you. L'manechtal me'oishek yadenu. That's the last thing that we say on Ne'ilah. The Ne'ilah focuses on the nusach that we should hold ourselves back. We should restrain me'oishek yadenu from theft. Extortion, all types of things of theft. That's a very important, that's a very major theme of Yom Kippurim, and therefore we show that with kaparis, we do not eat from the part of the chicken that was makabel gezel. Next, okay, so therefore,
free range doesn't mean on somebody else's property; it's on their farm anyway.
Okay, so this is an old issue. Obviously, I don't need to tell you. Obviously, this is has become today in our generation a very controversial issue. A kaparis. Everyone in the one, some ways it's a lot better than it was years ago, I think, because the city also has cracked down on this. The city also does not like the filth, does not like the stench. What used to go on in some of the street corners, and the people who organize these things, they have upgraded their standards of sanitation standards, and it's also the sheikhtim and how the money is distributed. And of course, there are always fakers out there and charlatans, and we watch out for. But today, to some degree, it's definitely better than it used to be. Yet, I remember years ago, it's definitely better, but not everyone is so not everyone is into this. Okay, I personally never personally it's not my thing. I don't have any affinity to do it, but some people, they really enjoy this. It really gives them pleasure. Going to Kaparis, and you always see the signs on street lamps that people who are very against this, and they write some very.
They're out there after them, and they're suing.
They responded. I think what you see is they responded in a responsible way. They have permits, some of them. They have permits. They deal with the city officials to do it in a way that is acceptable. Okay, so whatever. To each his own. To each his own. Next, halacha hey. By the way, how much money do you use for kaparis? Okay, so I told you once about this, about pidyon. It's very interesting. The amount of money, there's an Indian of having 160. 160 what? 160 pennies? That means $1.60. That's a very important number. For some reason, that number has captured the attention of many mikubalim. The number 160. Either it's $16, which I guess is what's 16. How does 16 not turn into 106? I don't know. How do you, or somehow 100, or it's $160, or $1.60. Okay, some number divisible by 160. Is a number which is used for pidyon. Why is that so? I forgot. Belinda, I'll look it up. I know where it explains this. It's a very interesting idea. Why it explains it 160? That's a very nice number. Or you use the gematria of your name. Okay, that's another very popular number to use. You figure out your name. You take your name. Kleinis Kalman Kleinimus Ben Chaya Shmerel Beryl. You figure out the gematria of your name.
No, you don't have to add a rabbi
going, okay? You add your name. Like, what do you say, Yoilish, right? Someone went to the Sav and he gave him pidyon, the gematria Yoil, which is how much?
47.
So our Satan Rebbe says, I'm giving $47 pidyon to my name. So he said, they call me Yoilish.
There's another story. When Rav Meir Shapiro was collecting money in America
for
the yeshiva, so he came to someone and says, I'm giving you $14 because I'm having an ache in my yad.
Yad, yeah.
He said, it's a shud, it's not the shiva yakarkashka.
Ooh. Woo. Okay, so how much money do you use? There are different minhagim. Some use multiples of 18. Chai. Does anyone here have any specific tradition of how much money you use for kaparis?
Multiples of chai.
Anyone else have any minhag? What you do for kaparis? Okay, my mother always used to tell do multiples of chai. Okay, 18, whatever, $18, 18, whatever it is, whatever the 18 is. But some people use the number 160, $16, $160, whatever you want to do. And then some people use the gematria of their name. What does that mean? Either their name without their mother or father, and some use their name, Ben, their mother, and some do it, their father. Everyone has a different minhag of what to use.
17? Where's the 160?
16. I have to tell, look it up for you.
17 is
30. Not 17. Not 17. Not 17. There's 160. There's something about the number. It's a very popular number for pidyon. When you're doing pidyon nefesh, when you are redeeming your soul, you do that for kaparis. Some people, they do it. They do it. Let's say they're having surgery. Okay, some people, when they're going through a difficult time in life, they're going having surgery. Can you do kaparis the whole year? Can you do kaparis in the middle of the winter? Let's say a person is having surgery. Rachman Lasson is having surgery, so he's scared. He wants to. So you give tzedakah. So you, before a person goes through, a person is going through a difficult time. But what about taking out? What about during the year? During the year, taking out your Yom Kippur machzor, and a week before Purim, you do kaparis because you do whatever. Something very traumatic is happening. Is there such a thing? I don't know. I've never seen it done. I've never seen, never heard. It's only something that's done Erev Yom Kippur. But the pidyon money, when people give pidyon nefesh, they give an amount of money, which is the same amount of money they use for kaparis, That appears to be something which people do the whole year round. When they go to give a kvittel to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe takes the money for tzedakah, you give it pidyon nefesh money. How much do you give? So the people who are into these things, they have a certain amount of money they always give, the gematria of their name, the gematria of their name and their mother's name. Or they use this multiples of chai, or multiples of 16, of 160. To each their own. There is something to the amount of money you use. Some people, they just take out whatever's in their wallet, $5, $20, $10, and they do kaparis. It's also fine. They don't have any tradition to use a specific amount of money. He does not mention that over here. He makes no mention over here of using a specific amount of money. But I remember growing up that people did have a very specific amount, a tradition to use a very specific amount of money when they did kaparis. Next halacha, hey, afagav l'umah halacha. It's a little bit late. Let's just turn to the next page. So I don't have to repeat the page. Kama avagav shachayv adam l'shuv b'chol yom b'chol yom b'chol b'chol shem shu'aser t'mei tshuva b'chol mokam b'yavim b'kipurim l'chiv hu yosef yosef shi'yeh kol yom b'tshuva. This is a chiv to do tshuva every day. But on Erev Yom HaKippurim, he's not even mentioning Yom HaKippurim yet. Let's discuss Erev Yom HaKippurim. There's a mitzvah to do even more tshuva the entire day. On Rosh Hashanah, it's the Bezdin Shalmaila. Aval b'Yom HaKippurim azay HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'atzmai uvichvoidai Yoshev al Hamishpat u'mashkiach, and he pays attention. It's an amazing, amazing thing he's teaching us. We just went through Rosh Hashanah, so we think we're done, right? We're done and we're finished. We got by New Yom. A lot of people, I noticed this, a lot of people, their attitude in Yom HaKippurim is a lot less than Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, they're all worked up, and they daven b'hislavos, they go to Uman, they really get worked up. And when it comes Yom Kippur, I find this, they say, their attitude is, it's a fast day. I don't fast well. I just don't fast well. I can't. And the Mela, my approach is downgraded very, very much. I'll do the best that I can, come to shul, but I'm not getting all worked up because I'm fasting. And it's just very, very hard. What do you expect from me? To fast the entire day and daven with the same hislavos, with the same bren like Rosh Hashanah. It's very, very common to see this approach. And it's wrong. It's really, really wrong. If you're only going to have enough energy for Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, you should really save your energy for Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is when the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chvoido v'atzmai is the Yoshev al HaMishpat. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is an outsider. Hashem is standing on the sidelines. He's on the sidelines. It's the Bezdin Shel Maila that is calling the shots. And Hashem is on the sidelines just, you know, giving directions. But on Yom HaKippurim, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes over. And his rachamim is infinitely more than any Bezin Shalmaila you can put together. You know, Bezin Shalmaila, Zeh Bor Lo Yecho, Ilum Dadaf Yomi, Zeh Bor Lo Yecho. Who is, by the way, on the Bezin Shalmaila? Who sits? Who's Yoshev? Chazal say, it's the people who have died recently. The people, the tzaddikim, who have died in the previous year. The previous year of the year is the previous generation, because they can truly relate to us. If you would go take the Sanhedrin from 100 years ago, and they're judging us, what's a smartphone? What's the internet? What is that? You need in Shemayim people who are with it. They know what the nisyonos we go through. They relate to us. Only they can have rachamim upon us. That's what it says. The Bezin Shalmaila are people who are contemporaries, people who are with the program. They know where we're holding. But Hashem has even more rachmanis, and Hashem is in charge on Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, let's finish the Tzar Chalodim Leida Benavsha Lifnehu Mitaher. In front of whom he is coming before Lifnei Hashem, Lachin Yir Lasakin Hakol Masha Yives Bein Mash Ma Bein Masha Bein Adam Lachamakaim the Kol Shekain She Bein Adam Lachaveroi Min Hagezel the Oina the Kol Davar Hanogeh B'Mamoim the Oina Astavadim Ki Averos She Bein Adam Lachaveroi Ine Megipur Mechaper until you have Mechila from Ad Sheiratze. Therefore, even if you've not caused your friend the loss of money, but you caused him agmas nefesh oinohas devarim tsarich lefaisai v'im. We'll stop here because we're out of time. We'll pick up over here at the top of the page tomorrow.